The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, everybody, it's time for the Tuesday edition of the Daily 10. It's your friend Matt back again to take you on this 10-minute sports journey of ours. Remember, this is the only Atlanta podcast where we give you everything you care about the most, and we appreciate you dialing us up today. All right, we get ready for Game 3 today with the Braves and the Dodgers as the series moves west. Out in L.A. at a 5:07 first pitch, Charlie Morton against Walker Buehler. That's the mound matchup. Now, I think I've told you here on the podcast and on the radio, playing out west in L.A. has not been very friendly to the Braves over the last several years. The Dodgers have beaten the Braves in 10 of the last 11 games at Dodger Stadium, including a sweep earlier this year. Now, I don't know if that translates to what's going to happen in the postseason, but again, it's been a house of horrors. The other thing is the Dodgers are 58-23 this season at home. So if anything's going to kind of turn their fortunes, I'm sure playing at home is going to make them very comfortable. But I think there are some bigger things at play here. Number one, if you want to compare this series to the series a year ago, where the Braves also led 2-0 at the same point heading into Game 3, that was played in that Texas bubble. Game 3 a year ago was Kyle Wright for the Braves. This time around, the issue of traveling to L.A. is real, but the Braves have Charlie Morton going. And if there's going to be one guy who doesn't give an F about what's happened at Dodger Stadium or shouldn't be, bothered by 50,000 people screaming, it should be Charlie Morton. Charlie's also coming off 2 extra days rest, which I really think the Braves handled this well, and they survived the game, too, where Ian Anderson didn't pitch very well to win that game with a second straight walk-off, meaning now you've got Charlie Morton fully rested, extra rest, ready to try to go for the jugular in Game 3. It's pretty obvious, but all the pressure is on the Dodgers. While they're still the better team, the math is not in their favor, needing to win 4 of 5, and really a must for the Dodgers here today with Buehler on the mound, because the way this is setting up going forward, I don't know the Dodgers' pitching plans, and frankly, I don't know if Dave Roberts knows. So in Game 4, while the Braves, I think, will set up with a bullpen game, the Dodgers were set to use Julio Urias, which I still think he'll start. But you saw the aftermath of what Max Scherzer had to do when he followed his relief outing against the Giants to close out the NLDS by only going 4 1/3. And he said he was tired in the pen. He had some dead arm. And then getting through the beginning of the fifth, he's like, he knew he was done. Now, Urias is younger, but the after effect of what he just did coming out of the bullpen in Game 2 on Sunday night and having to turn right back around and pitch on Wednesday, I think that's going to limit him. So keep an eye on that in Game 4. If we get to a Game 5, the Braves will have Max Fried. I have no clue who the Dodgers are starting. Could they go with another bullpen game? I guess. Could they use Tony Gonsolin? Maybe. Could they bring David Price on the roster with some injury replacement? Maybe. None of those sound like great options with your season potentially on the line. I think Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, has so overmanaged in this series that it has completely twisted up his pitching rotation. And if you're the Braves, you've got to take advantage. Now, again, today is going to be very difficult because Walker Buehler is that good, but the Braves can match with Charlie Morton, who should be very well rested and equipped to go 6-7 innings if the Braves can get him some early runs to kind of settle in. And as I said, with all the pressure being on the Dodgers, things get a little bit more difficult for them as the game moves along. The other thing that's pretty obvious again here, the Braves won 2 games where they didn't play great throughout either Game 1 or Game 2, but they had great moments, both walk-off moments to win those games, certainly. But, the Jock home run in Game 2, the Riley home run in Game 1, the 8th inning of Game 2, like there were a lot of good moments, and there were also good moments on the mound as the bullpen pitched around a lot of jams and a lot of base runners. But it's a dangerous way to play if you're talking about walking 9 against the Dodgers and trying to survive that happening again? Or as the Braves struck out 14 times in game one, give away that many outs without putting the ball in play and thinking you're going to do that again and survive it? It's probably a long shot. But the other side of that coin is there probably is a game or two in the series where the Braves are going to play a really clean game, a really good game, the game where they get three or four hits with runners in scoring position. You know, the game where you're going to keep the walks to a minimum, that type of thing. Or maybe the game today where Charlie Morton is just nails, where he just shoves for seven innings and the Dodgers are left shaking their head. That's a huge possibility. But to be in this spot, and I know Braves fans are never comfortable, and I understand that. But for the Braves, the difference, I think, this year is having Morton set on extra rest in game three, Max Fried in game five, Ian in game six, and then if you get to that point where it's a game seven, back to Charlie Morton on full rest again. So they're set up for a very good situation. You'd love to, again, go for the jugular today, grab a 3-0 series lead. I don't know if the Dodgers would roll over and quit, but Chris Taylor said after game two on Sunday night, we're tired. We're looking forward to getting home. You heard Scherzer say the same thing about where he was. They have been through a ton in the last week to 10 days, from the wild card game, the grueling Giants series, two walk-off losses now on the road, flying cross-country again. There's some challenges here for the Dodgers, as good as they are. They're the more talented team, they're the better team, and they're at home. So this series could be a long way from over, but boy, today would feel great to have Charlie Morton just go out and pitch the best game of his season, give him a little early run support, and just see if the pressure mounts again on LA as the game moves along. If you're looking for a great spot to watch Game 3 today, go see my friends at the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. Sean Daly and his great crew are on Main Street in downtown Woodstock. It's the ultimate sports bar experience. It's not that deep-fried sports bar where the menu items aren't great, sight lines aren't great. You want to forget those days. Well, at the Daily Draft, you're talking about wall-to-wall TVs everywhere you look. One of the biggest screens in Atlanta where you can enjoy the front row seats that they have for you. It's one of the giveaways I have available at my Twitter site at Real Matt Atlanta. They also have a craft beer bar, self-serve taps, a chef-inspired menu. And if you go in for lunch and mention my podcast, The Daily 10, they're going to take 10% off your lunch order. Again, mention The Daily 10. They'll take 10% off your lunch order at The Daily Draft. Go to thedailydraft.net, check out the menu, some of the great offers like Kids Eat Free Night, Trivia Night, and more. But The Daily Draft's a great spot downtown Woodstock. Go say that Matt sent you and check them out today. All right, a couple of actual non-Braves things I wanted to get to. So the Hawks yesterday, or at least Adrian Wojnarowski announced that the Hawks have signed Kevin Huerter to a 4-year, $65 million contract, which is actually pretty good value. I know those numbers sound, pretty large. You're talking about, $16 million a year for a young, really talented wing who we saw last year in the playoffs. The Game 7 in Philly was the biggest example of it. But he can do so many things that help you. And at that price, I think it's a great deal. Young, good shooter, secondary ball handler, creator, better defensive player than I think we all thought. So as the Hawks are just a couple of days away from opening this new season, they've got pretty much all this young core who needed to be locked up, taken care of. Trey got his max deal. The John Collins deal got done. Now Kevin Huerter is done. They'll have to make a decision at some point on a few of these other young guys like Cam and like DeAndre. They re-signed Clint Capella. As long as they stay healthy, and knock on wood, because the health is the one thing you can never prepare for, this team has a chance to be really, really good, not only this year, but for a very long time. They start this season again with Dallas, and the early part of the schedule is manageable. If they get off to a quick start, this thing could roll, and it could be a lot of fun early to watch. Just the depth, the pieces they added in the offseason, a backup guard like DeLon Wright, some nice center depth in Gorgui Dieng, till Onyeka Okongwu comes back. I don't think there's a hole on the roster. They're not the best team in the East. I think that's the Nets, and I think the Nets are the best team in the NBA. The Hawks might be the deepest team in the East, and that's going to matter over the long 82-game grind where we're still dealing with some COVID stuff for teams to concern themselves with. So good signing by Travis Schlenk. It's good to have Kevin Huerter under contract. And the Falcons announced yesterday that Calvin Ridley returned to practice as they get ready for their game Sunday against the Miami Dolphins in South Florida. Remember, he missed last week in London before the bye with a personal matter, and we still have no details, and frankly, it's probably none of our business. But the good news is he's back at practice, and now he's going to enter a situation where there are some weapons, right? You saw what Kyle Pitts did in his breakout game against the Jets. Cordarrelle Patterson has been such a wonderful find. Now you get Calvin back, and we've said Calvin has been pretty pedestrian in the first 3 or 4 weeks of this season before he missed the game against the Jets, that you need him to be that playmaker that we saw the last couple of years where he's scoring touchdowns, stretching the field, just doing the stuff that we became accustomed to watching. Now, that also, a lot of it came with Julio Jones on the other side, which makes life a lot easier. But as I said, if you're Calvin now, you re-enter where teams do have to focus on Kyle Pitts. They do have to concern themselves with Patterson. You do have to think of even about a Hayden Hurst. You do have to watch a Mike Davis. Like, there are weapons now, and I think the offense has a chance to really kind of take some more steps forward. This is a Miami team that is very beatable. They just lost in London to the Jaguars. There are questions about, Tua and his progression as he moves along here. Now, Miami's also thinking we can get right against the Falcons, so don't get me wrong, it's a pick 'em game. But if you're the Falcons and you're able to go to South Florida, get this win, get back to 500 with a home game against Carolina, it's what we keep talking about. Just keep yourself in this race for as long as you can and just look up and see what the wild card situation looks like, halfway through the season. So getting Calvin Ridley back is a big part of it. We'll see if he can step up some of his numbers in game on Sunday against the Dolphins. If you guys would, hit the subscribe button, or you can follow this podcast wherever it is you get your pods, and it'll be waiting for you each and every day around 10 a.m. I'll be on the radio this afternoon in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. We're back again tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily 10.
Subscribe to the Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.